Good afternoon and welcome to the Beauty Files. I'm Juanita. I'm so glad you can join us today. It has been a horrendous week. I mean, we had the elections. That was crazy. We had the floods, the hurricane that hits New Jersey and New York. And I have several friends who are up there, and I wish them the best and hope that everything comes okay for them, because that has been insane. And then we have our show. So we're going to make sure that this show put a little smile in some faces. I know it's going to put a lot of smile in my face, because this is another personal show of my own personal crying game. Because once again, I have someone on here who you all are going to enjoy. And we're talking about lunchtime treatments. Now, I was going to say lunchtime treats, but lunchtime treats for me is sneaking off to Godiva to get some chocolate-covered strawberries, or going to the Calgore Creamery to get some cheese. That's my lunchtime treat. But lunchtime treatment is something different. So if you ever see someone going out and they have a lunch bag and they say, I'll be back in about an hour and a half, and when they come back, they look like they've been well-rested, well, guess what? They're not. They went and they went to a medical spa, and they got what we are calling injectables. Today we're going to be joined by Kelly Sullivan. Kelly is a registered nurse with over 20 years of dermatological, I knew I was going to mess it up.
Dermatology.
Thank you. Because, you know, what is it? I got like a mouthful of marbles. Experience, 13 years specifically in the cosmetic realm. And she is with my doctor, who I love, Dr. Patel. Dr. Patel started Nivica Medical Spa on Hanover Drive in Greenbelt, Maryland. It is a fabulous medical spa. When you go in, you'll feel like you're someplace in Beverly Hills, because it's so nice. It's so luxurious and so comfortable. So without further ado, we're going to touch on a lot of different subjects with Kelly, so I'm going to stop rambling. Welcome to the Beauty Files, Kelly.
Thank you so much.
You know, no one, or a lot of people don't know what the facial injectables or injectables are. Before I get into all the different procedures and treatments that you all do at the Nivica Med Spa, tell me exactly, or tell our audience, what is injectables?
Well, injectables can be two different things when people are thinking about injectables. The first one is Botox, which is a muscle relaxer. Basically, it goes in and it stops the muscle movement. So that's for the frown lines, or the 11s, as people refer to them. The second type of injectables are fillers, and those are fillers that are used to fill voided areas. As we age, we start to lose some volume in different areas of the face. So with fillers, we're able to re-inject and kind of give back that youthful look.
Oh, okay. So the things that the injectables, or the what I call the parentheses in your mouth, what that would be, what would that be?
That would be the fillers.
The fillers. Oh, okay.
Exactly. So that would now, be to...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that would be used because that would be considered a void, or something where you're starting to lose some collagen breakdown, or you lose the volume of the skin. So the filler replaces that volume, improving those lines.
Okay, so now I have my bag. I'm pretending like I'm going out for lunch, and I'm coming to Dr. Patel's Nivica Med Spa, and I see you. You come, you know, you prep me or whatever. Take me to, like, I'm going to give you a scenario. Then we're going to touch on the other aspects of what Nivica Med Spa does. But I want to get rid of the parentheses. I want to make my face look a little bit more glowy. And I want to do it at lunch. And I want to do it where I don't come out screaming, yelling, and thinking that my face is on fire. What are you going to do for me, Kelly?
Well, the first thing we would do is whenever someone comes in and they're new, we do a consult. So with that, we kind of look at the face in general. We look at what is bothering the patient, and then kind of come up with a treatment plan. So if we're looking to make you glowy, we're looking more at chemical peels or possibly laser treatments, depending on what it is that we need to address. So that would be one step. Then if you're looking to fill voids, that would be more of the injectables. And with that, it's not so much that we always just fill parentheses. We kind of look at the skin, map out the face, and figure out where is the best spot to put the filler to get the best response. To just chase a line with some filler doesn't always solve the problem. It can just push the line out a little bit more. So it's just a matter of doing the consult, looking at the skin, looking at the face, and figuring out what makes the best sense to get the best result without, you know, causing a lot of bruising or pain or any of that stuff. Of course, with any injectable that you do, there is always the chance of that happening, getting a bruise. But we take our time to kind of lessen that and do the best we can. So most people do leave. They can put on makeup immediately after, and they go right back to work.
Okay, so now when we talk about injectables versus Botox, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking when you are doing for both procedures, you're injecting something into the skin.
Yes.
Which one gets rid of, like, you ever see people when they raise their head up and they got these lines across their head?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would that
so
be
that
Botox?
That would be Botox. Exactly.
Okay.
That would be Botox. Because what those lines are caused by is the actual muscle movement. So what we want to do is we want to stop the muscle movement, the repetitive movement, which is actually what's breaking down the collagen causing the lines.
Right.
So we do that. We couldn't just go in and fill that per se, because if we don't stop the movement, we're not going to improve, you know, the lines over time or overall. So we need to stop the movement to begin with. Occasionally, we don't do a lot of fillers on the forehead, but, you know, if there's a scar or there's something very deep, we would look at that, but only after we've done Botox and after that's been allowed, you know, we give it a few months and kind of look at it, because we don't want to over-treat any area. We want to make it look natural. We want them to look good. We want them to look refreshed.
Yeah. Now you just brought up a really good point, because the whole natural thing. Because I've seen the good and I've seen the bad of Botox.
Mm-hmm.
The bad of the Botox is that someone has just looks perpetually surprised.
Exactly.
Is that because someone that is doing it is not as trained or just doesn't know where they should be injecting Botox?
Not necessarily, because sometimes it could just be the anatomy of the face and the person. So
okay.
When you're looking at someone and you're kind of doing that consult, if you're going to fix the glabellar lines. I'm going back to your dermatology problem.
Right, yeah.
But the little levens in between the eyes.
Right.
You have different muscle groups that are pulling to actually make that frown happen. Then if you look and have someone arch their eyebrows or bring their forehead up, if you see a very distinguishable pull or an arch, that's the person that sometimes will get that more of that shocked, you know, kind of the Jack Nicholson eyebrow. Nobody really
wants
that.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't always happen. It can happen. It really depends, because if you're stopping one muscle movement and another one is very strong, it's going to be magnified. So
right.
What we'll do is if I'm kind of on the fence with someone, of course I'm never going to overdo, because you don't want to ever put Botox in an area and worry about dropping a brow either, because that's the other issue that could happen. So what we'll tend to do is we kind of, you know, always err on the cautious side. We'll do the general injections where they're supposed to go, where we're trained to put them, and where we know what they'll do. And then 2 weeks later, if a person does have that pulled look, they're going to know it at that point, and we can bring them in and just put one little unit on each side and just soften that right up.
Oh.
So there are ways to fix some of that. You know, it just
a lot of
times the patients aren't told that, so they think that look is just what they get.
Yeah, I was never told that. I thought that once you got that needle there and you got that surprise look, well, you just act like you're being surprised all the time. It's like, oh,
No. No, several times we can just kind of look at it, and what we do is we'll bring you back and we'll look at where that pull is, and then you can specifically isolate where you want to put the actual Botox. And we do unit-based Botox, so that means it is a one-to-one dilution, so we're able to take small amounts and get a really good effect. So we don't need to overdo it. We just need to soften it, because some people like a little pull because it opens up their eyes.
Right. Can that procedure, or what procedure would work if you have like that hooded look on your eyes? Am I saying that right?
A hood. Yeah.
It looks like. Yeah. What can work for that, or do I have to go under the knife for that?
You know, it really depends on why it's there. I will tell you that one of the things you want to steer away from if you already have that heavy brow or that hooded look is doing a lot of Botox in the forehead, because your forehead is what's probably holding that area up that you don't really know, and then once you have the Botox, it's going to make it even worse. A lot of times the putting is additional skin, which is a surgical procedure.
Okay.
But again, it would be dependent on looking at the person and seeing, you know, exactly their anatomy.
Right. Oh. Tell me about cost, Kelly.
So
what are we looking for? Are we going to break the bank with this?
No. And, you know, the nice thing about the Botox is that, you know, for Botox, if I have a person come in and they're on a budget, we'll try to work within their budget. You know, of course, if we can't do a full Botox treatment, they're going to see improvement, but they're not going to see total resolution. But it doesn't mean that a little bit won't help them. So
right.
We actually do it. It's $12 per unit. And just to give you an idea, an area between the eyebrows would be about 20 to 21 units. So,
okay. You
know, that's kind of the estimated cost.
Right.
I know different places it's up to $15 a unit, sometimes more. I think pretty much in this area, though, $12 a unit is the going rate.
That's not bad. I mean, especially, and how long does it last?
Botox will last 3 to 6 months. People who were first doing it the first time are more the 3 month group because those muscles are still kind of used to going right back to where they were. The more Botox treatments you have, the longer the actual procedure can last. The weaker the muscles are, the longer it can last. So, like, for instance, a man who's having it done, their memory of that muscle is going to come back because it's a much stronger muscle group. And you don't want to just kind of knock them out with twice as much Botox because it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to last twice as long. So they may come back and need to have it done a little bit sooner.
Do you find that a lot of men are starting to get, you know, injectables or coming to see you more so now than ever?
Oh, absolutely. Typically what happens is you see the wives first, and then the wives will send them in. And then once you get them, they'll continue to come as well.
Now explain to me, there's another FDA-approved product, Juvederm.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys do that. What exactly is Juvederm, and what does that do? What can that do for me?
So Juvederm is a filler. It's a hyaluronic acid, which is a great type of a filler because it mimics already what is in the skin. You know, the skin has hyaluronic acid in it. So you don't have to worry about the old collagens where you'd have to do patch tests and wait months and still you weren't guaranteed that you weren't going to have a problem. Juvederm is a gel that's actually injected into the skin, and then it goes in and it causes kind of a meshing technique, and it stimulates your own collagen. It's nice. It's pliable, so we can really get it where we want it without a lot of bumps or, you know, anything like that. It can last up to a year. Juvederm will last longer on areas with no movement versus areas that are constantly moved. So,
okay.
For instance, if we're filling a cheek, to give back a cheek volume, that's going to last longer than filling the smile lines because you're talking and moving and, you know, that's going to break down like a normal collagen would.
Right.
The breakdown happens over time, so it's not like, you know, the day after the year you wake up and it's all gone. It slowly kind of breaks down just like your normal collagen does. So you can at any point in time have it re-injected or add more, which is the nice part about it.
You can put Juvederm in your cheeks?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Anywhere there's a void, and that's one of the things that we do when we first look at somebody is we'll isolate, you know, kind of where is the best spot for it. And, you know, especially with a lot of thin people, they'll tend to lose a lot of their mid-face volume, and that actually will accentuate those smile lines. So sometimes just putting back that volume will help the actual smile line. So, again, it's just a matter of looking and seeing and assessing and figuring out what's the best, you know, how a patient's going to get the best response for what they're doing.
And, you know, Kelly, what's so funny is that as we get older, I mean, you know, our skin is getting thinner. We know we lose less elasticity. We you know, our lashes are gone. I mean, my God, what else could possibly go? And, you know, so all of this sounds phenomenal. But I preface that to say this, the lashes. Now, I believe, because I think I asked Dr. Patel this, about Latisse. Am I saying that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Latisse for your eyelashes. And the reason why I'm throwing this out there, ladies, is because a lot of us, whether we know it or not, putting on lashes or having lashes or thick lashes, it automatically makes your face look younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the discomfort of going to a place, I won't name the place, and I got, you know, some individual lashes done. Now, granted, the guy did a good job. He, you know, he did what he was supposed to do. This was the first time I actually had someone else do it because I do my own lashes. I just put them on myself. But the problem was that he used so much glue that when I blinked, it felt like I had a perpetual pink eye. And whoever had pink eye knows when it first comes across, it's like a crustacean. It's like you can barely open up your eyes. I felt like there was crackers on my eyelashes all day. It drove me crazy to the point where I spent that money to get it done, and I had to get it off because it drove me insane, just batting my eye. Batting my eyes was like batting crackers. It just drove me crazy. So I say all that to say, if you can get Latisse, and I've seen several clients who've used it, phenomenal results. I have never seen anything like that in my life. You all sell or you all prescribe Latisse, is that correct?
Yes, we do. We actually have it here in our office. Latisse, actually, the great thing about it is originally Latisse was a medication that was used for glaucoma. And what they found is that all of these patients who were using it for glaucoma, their eyelashes were beginning to become longer. And it's so funny because I do have a client who I always ask her, are you using Latisse? And she says, every time you ask me that, I told you I use the glaucoma medicine. So she doesn't put it together. And, of course, every time I see her, I'm like, oh, are you using it? But what it is it's part of the protein of the actual medication. So what they did is they put it into Latisse. So, you know, of course, they put it into its own little name. And you apply it directly to the lash line. And it allows for lack of a easier way to explain it, it allows the lashes to stay in their growth phases longer. So you're seeing perpetually more lashes at all given times, and they tend to stay longer, so they grow longer. So that's kind of how they work. If you decide you don't want to do it anymore and you stop it, your lashes go back to how they were originally. So a lot of people have the false sense of, if I do it, I have to do it forever and I can't ever stop. That's not necessarily true. Typically what will happen is you'll do it daily, and it can take 4 to 6 weeks for you to really see that big response or a phenomenal response.
Right.
Then you go into maintenance. And maintenance might be doing it one time a week, twice a week. You know, it's kind of, you have to gauge that based on each individual person.
But you still would have to do some type of application in order to keep it, like, I guess, like Rogaine.
Exactly. And it's so easy to do that it's not a lot of work to do. I did have one patient who came in and she was trimming her eyelashes, and I was like, why are you trimming them? And she said that they were clicking against her glasses. So I said, well, why don't you use it only once a week? Well, of course, she didn't think about that. She figured she would cut them.
Wait a minute, Kelly. Hold up. They were clicking on her glasses because they had grown that long?
Yes.
OMG, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm thinking that, you know, she was blessed with long lashes and, oh, my God, I got to cut my lashes because they're clicking on my glasses. This is a result of Latisse.
Yes. And the downside to Latisse, though, that a lot of people will know about is that the Latisse is the glaucoma medication that was directly inserted as a drop into the eye, could change the color of an iris. So the colored part of your eye, if you had a light eye, it could darken it. That is also one of the reasons why Latisse darkens eyelashes. Now, they've shown the studies that with Latisse, you're only applying it to the lash line. So it's not, you know, you're not going to see it like if you're using it as a drop. But if, of course, because that is one of the warnings on the label for the eye drop, people will, if they're investigating it, they'll see that as one of the warnings on the actual Latisse. It can turn the skin a little darker, but again, you put it right along your lash line. You know, it's not something you slop all over your eye. you put it just with a little brush. It comes with little brushes, and you put it on directly to the lash line, and it does a great job.
Wow. And so, you know, okay, so we've gotten past the, well, no, not quite. Let me just do one more part of the face, and then I want to talk about the Vassar lipo ultrasound liposuction.
Mm-hmm.
Want to talk about the chemical peels. Now, can a person get that done as well at lunchtime and return back? And are they allowed to put makeup back on once they get the chemical peel, or they shouldn't?
Absolutely.
Definitely
they can put on makeup. You know, we like if you don't need to, of course that's always better. But clearly if you need to go back to work and you want to put on a little powder or something, as long as you don't wash the chemical off, because the chemicals self-neutralize. We put them on the skin and we want them to stay there to do what they're supposed to do. So we don't want you to kind of wash it right off. But, yeah, absolutely. I have some patients that will come during the day, and, you know, they have to put on their makeup, and that's fine. That is totally fine. Chemical peels are really great because they actually will stimulate the skin and the collagen, and that's where you go when you're looking to brighten a skin or refresh a skin or help with fine lines, help with brown pigments, acne, any of those types of things. That's what the actual chemical peel does the best of.
And how long does that process take when you do it in your office?
It takes, you know, your first visit's probably 30 minutes, maybe a little longer, depending on, you know, because I sit down with everybody and I'll explain to them, you know, why it works, why it does what it does, what specifically, you know, we need to kind of target on their skin. But then after that, I mean, the actual procedure itself takes maybe 20 minutes. It doesn't take long at all.
Okay. And what kind of cost are we talking about for the chemical peels?
The chemical peels are $85 in this office.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, and then we also do packages because, of course, a chemical peel, anytime you're doing stuff that's considered more lunchtime, and you may find this out from reading, you tend to need to do series of them or packages.
Right.
So one is always better than none, but, of course, if you can do a series of them, you're going to really stimulate the skin to help it help itself to repair. So we do packages of 3 and 5 as well, so then you get a little bit of a discount.
And do they, and when you, after you get the pill or whatever, do you tell people, okay, when you get home, this is what you should do? I mean, is there a follow-up as what I need to do when I get home, or am I pretty much, I don't have to really worry about, you know, having to do another regimen when I get home?
Yeah, no, you pretty much can, you don't really need to worry about doing another regimen. We do have post-peel kits that we make available to our patients, and that's just some gentle cleansers and creams that really kind of help, especially if somebody's on more actives like exfoliating cleansers or alpha hydroxylic acids or retinols or retin-A's. You know, we wouldn't want them to use those for a couple of days after a peel. So, but other than that, after 2 days, they can usually get back to their normal routines.
Because you have the professional chemical peels, and then now I'm noticing in the stores you have options where, you know, I saw it at CVS where they have something that they're calling it a peel. I don't think they're calling it as a chemical peel, but they're calling it some type of peel. Is that on the same line, or that's something milder?
Oh, it's going to definitely be milder. Even our home care that we have here are always going to be higher amounts of the various fruit acids and retinols, because it's the difference of over the counter versus, you know, getting it from a medical professional. So I'm not sure of the actual peels that you're talking about, but I can almost guarantee they're certainly not going to be what you can get in an office.
Right, yeah. Because I see that all the time when, you know, they have these, I won't name the brand, but, you know, you see them all the time. And I'm just wondering if someone were to purchase that, what would be the effects versus coming to you and saying, okay, you can look at my skin, you can tell me, you know, you need to get this done, you need to get this done. Well, chemical peels may work for that, but you really should get that. I think that is probably the beauty of coming to you, is that you can look at my skin and you can tell me, what do you want to look like? Well, I want to look like a young, you know, whatever. And then you can kind of guide me as to what I need to get done.
Exactly. And I will tell you that when you're doing, if you were to go to the drugstore and you were to buy one of those pills and you've never done anything else, you're going to see improvement because you're doing something.
Right.
You know, it's just a matter of if you come to a medical office, you're going to see more. Even in a medical office, the pills that we use are stronger than what can be used in, like, a salon. So there's even variances in that respect. And yes, of course, you know, getting the ability of somebody to explain to you why it's doing what it's doing, how it's working. One of the concerns with a peel over the counter with somebody who may be a skin of color is that if it goes in an area too much, you can get hyperpigmented. And that's a big issue to worry about, you know, if a peel is left on. So, of course, I would not imagine that an over-the-counter peel would be that strong because that would be a lot of liability for a company to do.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. But when we come back on the other side, I want to talk to you about the invasive procedures, the liposuction procedures. And then also there's something quite interesting that Dr. Patel is doing, hormone replacement therapy, something that we had discussed and Dr. Patel and I had discussed. And it's something really fabulous and phenomenal, and I think a lot of people need to know about that. But definitely the lipo and the laser treatments that you all provide as well. We'll be right back. Give us about 2 minutes. We'll come right back to you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Beauty Files. We are talking today about lunchtime treatments, and we are joined by Kelly Sullivan of Nivica Med Spa in Greenbelt, Maryland. When we left off, Kelly, we were talking about, and I said I wanted to discuss the laser treatments, the lipo, or whatever. So let's get right to it. What exactly is the Vassar Lipo Ultrasound Liposuction treatment?
This is actually, it's Vassar Shape Vassar Lipo. It is a newer liposuction technique, just meaning newer, like one of the newer things on the market. It's actually using ultrasound technology. So just like traditional liposuction, you go in and you do the tumescent numbing. So you're actually doing numbing you're not putting someone to sleep. So we're doing it within the office. So we use tumescent numbing. We numb the actual tissue. If, for instance, we're doing a stomach, we'll numb the whole area. We kind of blow it up, make it a little bit bigger. And that causes the fat cells to start to kind of break apart a little bit because it's making it watered down, for lack of a better way to explain it. But then we go in with the Vassar, and it's actually using ultrasound technology, which then even helps to further break down the tissue, and it makes the cells become very individualized.
Okay.
That way, it emulsifies the fat. So then you go in after you do the ultrasound portion of it, you go in and you actually do the liposuction, and you're able to better sculpt and better precisely remove the fat cells. You get a little bit better smoothness to it than traditional liposuction sometimes because you've emulsified down, and then as the skin goes through its healing, those cells kind of reform and go back to kind of give you back a nice smooth layer. So it's not as though you're removing pockets and you're hoping that the cells will kind of go back on their own. That's kind of their natural process, is to fall back into place, and it gives you a nice smooth result.
So now, do I use that? And I mean, will that help a person who is battling cellulite?
It can help cellulite. The big thing with cellulite is basically that is bands of fibrous tissue that connect together, and that's why it forms that dimpling. So, of course, one of the things that we have found with the Vassar shape is that we're the ability to even break up some of the scar tissue. So with the same thinking, if you're kind of going through those bands and you're releasing them, then it's going to help the cellulite. For the scar tissue, for especially women who have C-section scars, a lot of times those scars will adhere to the inner part of the abdominal wall. So sometimes when they move, they'll have some pain or some uncomfortableness, even, you know, years upon years later. Mm-hmm. So we actually have two patients who have found great response with breaking up that scar to improve the look of the scar and the fact that it's not, you know, it's not feeling as tight. So it would work in that same sort of way.
Wow. Now I'm reading other, you know, information. We have something called Limelight, and what made me get really excited is that this actually tightens the surface of the skin.
So the Limelight is actually an IPL treatment that is done. So the Limelight and the Skin Tighten, these are all products, procedures that are done with their Futera laser system. And Limelight is more for taking care of sun damaged skin, brown spots, red spots. You're a little bit more, you're not able to do it on all types of skin because it is more of a surface type of a light treatment. So a darker skin could actually absorb too much of the light, so you have to be very careful with that. The tightening one that you're probably thinking about, the skin tightening, is actually using infrared light. So unlike a laser light, infrared light is causing heat to go down to below the skin layer of the tissue, and then it causes the skin, because the skin can repair itself, and the skin can do some great things when it's made to do so. So it's putting the heat in, and it's causing the skin to kind of contract and clump down, and it improves the actual texture and the tone of the skin, and you'll see a tightening.
Okay, so, but again, this is, if someone has like a saggy neck,
mm-hmm.
I get,
it
will it work
job.
For that?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry?
It does a great job for that.
Really?
Sometimes with one treatment, you can see improvement, but again, this is one of those things, we're doing multiple treatments, you're going to see more and more response. Once you kind of crunch down and tighten up that skin, you'll have to do some kind of maintenance, which most of our patients are coming back for regular skin treatments. But we can get a good contour and kind of we pull up in what's referred to as like doing little vector sites. If we're looking to pull in certain areas, we add more heat in those areas. And we're just able to cause the tissue to kind of repair and rebuild and stimulate some collagen, which gives you the tightening effect.
So who would not be a good candidate for this?
For the skin tightening, everyone is a good candidate.
Okay.
Because we're not
okay.
using laser, we're just using heat into the skin. So we can do this on all skin types.
Okay. Because, you know, we, especially people who are black-skinned, there are a lot of techniques that a lot of people don't tell us that
yeah.
we should not or cannot do because of the after effects.
Exactly.
Of what will happen. And I'm so glad you're very, very specific and very mm-hmm. honest about telling, you know, our audience what some people should get and some people should not actually get, or the effects of what a person who has darker skin should not, you know, should not get.
Exactly. Some of the lasers, like the laser hair removal system that we have here, is an NDAG-based system, so that is safe for dark skins. But some of the other lasers, especially the ones that had come out long ago for hair removal, were not appropriate for dark skins. You can even use it on some of the more Indian types of skins that were a little bit dark.
Right.
Because the melanin distribution of the skin would pick up the energy, and it would burn the skin versus burning the hair or whatever the target was you were going for. So, you know, they've come a long way, and we have a lot of good cooling systems, so we are able to treat hair now on black skins and on darker pigmented skins. But things like the limelight, that's still not a great response for that, because it's to think about it, it's the wavelength of light that it is, it's more surface, so it does great for a very fair skin that has a lot of that brown and red pigment, you know, especially sun damage, does a phenomenal job with that. But the darker skins,
right.
you know, you really have to be careful, because if you get a burn, it can hyper or hypopigment. And you never want to do something that's going to cause more of an issue than what you're trying to teach or trying to treat.
Trying to treat, exactly. And you just put up a really great point, which is going to be my next question, is about the laser hair removal. Because a lot of us, again, you get older, you know, sometimes we lose it, then sometimes we get it in places that we're wondering, why do I have sideburns right now? What is that about? So laser treatment, explain to us how that works, and can you do it anywhere on your body, a.k.a.
Mm-hmm.
bikini line?
Mm-hmm. You can do, so laser hair removal is, again, using a wavelength of light, of laser energy that is specifically absorbed by melanin or dark pigment. So with that in mind, somebody who has white hair or really, really blonde hair,
mm-hmm.
it is not going to work for them, because there's nothing to absorb the heat. But as long as you have dark hair or you have a hair color that's darker than the skin, it can do a phenomenal job. The skin, when you're looking at hair removal, you know, again, it's multiple treatments, but more so because hair grows, rests, and falls out. And only the hairs that are growing, that are in the surface of the skin and are in the follicle, are ever treated at any given treatment. So the laser isn't going to, if we had a laser so hot that it would reach the follicle level, it would burn too much skin. So what it does is it heats up the hair at the surface, carries the heat down to the follicle, and then destroys it so it doesn't produce a new hair. So only the hairs that are actively in that growth phase are the ones that are being treated in any given treatment time.
Do you find that a lot of women who have hair on their face would benefit from this? I mean, not a full beard, but
absolutely.
You know, I have friends who have, you know, hair on their face where they have to shave
mm-hmm.
almost every day.
Well, and one of the benefits of doing the hair on the face is that most of the people have so much irritation because they tend to pick or they tend to shave or pull. So you'll see an improvement of the skin texture as well as a reduction in the hair. Absolutely. Does a great job.
Now, are men coming to you for this procedure as well, for hair removal?
Yeah,
and if so, what hair are they trying to remove?
Typically men will do backs. I have several men that I work on their backs, and some of the men will do the backs of their necks, you know, especially if they get a lot of growth and they have really short hair.
Right.
I've done men who have a lot of that pseudofolliculitis where they get that really ingrown hairs and, you know, on their neck from shaving. So if you do it for that, you can actually reduce that problem that they get because you can thin out the hair. Or you could get rid of the hair. I mean, the downside is they may not be able to grow a full beard.
Right.
But that's something that they tend to don't mind trading in.
You know, you said folliculitis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my boyfriend had that. In the back of his head, he got it treated. He got medication to have it treated. We didn't know
mm-hmm.
what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying
mm-hmm.
this procedure would help that?
It can help that. Now, when you're dealing with the back of the head, that's more like an acne keloid. It's like too much scar tissue forming around the actual, you know, little hair follicles. You may not want to do it on the back of the neck, depending on where your hairline stops. Because remember,
okay.
anywhere you treat, you may never grow hair there again.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're dealing with the front of the neck, that's not a big deal, you know.
Right.
Because we can actually decrease the inflammation and the problems in the skin.
And, you know, I have a great question. And, you know, I'm so glad that I remembered it because I would have been mad if I didn't ask you this question. Moles
mm-hmm.
on the face.
Mm-hmm.
Our family, my family has a history of women, men, women, whatever, have moles on their face to the point where it's just, it drives you crazy. And one time I actually had it removed via laser.
Mm-hmm.
It never came back. But, you know, there's still moles on my face, you know, from time to time. Can that be treated in your office with laser? And if so, what procedure would I ask for?
Well, it would, you know, again, we would do a consult because it would depend on what the actual moles still look like. If
okay.
they're like a skin tag type of a mole, then
yeah.
absolutely we can remove them. But if they're
oh, my God,
true,
skin tags.
Yeah,
does anyone know what the skin tags are? Why does that keep growing like that? They're everywhere.
Yeah, that's more genetics and sometimes weight, and they happen in areas that actually, you know, like underarms that rub together.
Yeah.
But the moles on the face, a true mole, you don't necessarily want to have lasered off because keep in mind a true mole does have the chance of turning into a melanoma, and if you were to laser it and change the look of it, you know, it may not be something that you see. So a true actual mole on a body shouldn't, in my opinion, and I know some doctors may think differently, but, you know, my training has always been you don't treat moles
right.
with a laser. But if it's the skin tags on the face, like the little baby moles, that's more, it's a process that happens. It tends to be genetic. And those absolutely you can treat.
And basically you just kind of, I guess, do you have to go one treatment, several treatments for skin tags?
Again,
or?
Yeah, it depends. It depends on how many you have and where all they are because
right.
you don't want to overstress the skin on the face, especially the face, because, you know, it makes better sense to do it in sessions versus doing too many because you don't want to have so much inflammation at one time.
Right.
So it would depend on what they actually look like and the size of them and that type of thing. And then afterwards, typically when we're treating those, you'll have like a bunch of little bug bitey kind of spots. So you'll have to keep a little ointment on them for a few days. So, you know, if you're somebody who is in the public eye that you can't actually be on TV, you know, it would be something you would want to work around that.
Okay.
Just because that's the typical, the healing of the skin.
Tell us what the hormone replacement therapy is.
So the hormone replacement therapy that Dr. Patel is actually doing in his office is the bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. This is where pellets are actually implanted to the skin, and it aids in hormone replacement, which, you know, we have several patients who their testosterone levels are very low, and they're affecting other things. They're not losing
right.
weight, or they're not, you know, they're very tired, or they have depression, they have other things. This is a hormone that what they've done is, unlike taking it by a pill form, is it's manufactured to make the molecular structure similar to the body's own hormones. The only way to get it in that respect is by pellet therapy. So it's put under the skin, and then it's slowly releases over time. You know, our patients have had, you know, where they feel much better. They have increased energy. Of course, it always helps with the sex drive.
There goes the magic there.
We typically will see, you know, again, we'll see a husband, and then next we'll see the wife, or we'll see the wife, and then next we see the husband. So
She'll go, I want to have what he just had,
because
he's fabulous now.
Exactly. So it can be a very bonding experience for a couple.
I'm sure it can.
So it is a very minor procedure that's done here. So what Dr. Patel would actually do your consult for that. So you would come in and you would meet with him, and he does blood tests to just see where your levels are and see if you are a candidate for it or see if you do need it. Then he would schedule you come in, and it's actually placed under the skin. It takes about a half hour, maybe a little bit more, and you do have, you're a little sore afterwards because he's actually implanting it under the skin, but it's not, oh my God, I can't go back to work, or I can't go to work. You know, it's just, it's a little uncomfortable and sore because something has been done, no different than if you would have cut your skin.
How is he implanting it? You say implanting it under the skin.
So he has just special tools, so he will actually numb the area, and then he will make kind of a little incision, and he just tunnels them up underneath the skin, just kind of like into the fat tissue just under the epidermis.
Okay. And how long does that last?
It's different with everyone, mostly because when you come in, depending on what your weight is and what your levels are, will depend on how many pellets he'll implant. Of course, he's the same way. If you're kind of teetering on an edge, he'll go lower versus higher.
Mm-hmm.
And typically it's about, 4 to 6 months where you'll start to see, and then you may come in to have more. Some people longer, some people maybe a little shorter, depending, especially a first time put it in. But, yeah, about 6 months is the average.
Nivica Med Spa has everything. I've never talked to someone who has the whole realm of any and everything to cover for lunchtime beauty treatment. And I just want to, first thank you, Kelly Sullivan from Nivica Med Spa. That's they're located on Hanover Drive, 7300 Hanover Drive in Greenbelt, Maryland. And Dr. Patel is the owner, but Kelly Sullivan is the RN that you would see for lunchtime treatments, anywhere from laser, from Botox, from the injectables, from Juvederm, Latisse. Kelly is your person. And, Kelly, I just want to say you are so informative about every procedure. I love that, and I thank you for that, because I had so many questions I wanted to ask. You answered all of them, and I hope that she was able to answer questions for you guys as well. And I would encourage you to go and give them a call. And let me see if I have them. Yeah, 301-441-1557 is the number to Nivica Med Spa in Greenbelt, Maryland. I would encourage you to give them a call. Take that lunch bag, pretend like you're going out to have lunch on the park, and go see Kelly or Dr. Patel and see, tell them exactly what you need, and they'll look at your face. And I'm sure Kelly, because I'm going to go too. And I have some issues, and I want to definitely make myself look younger. I always want to look younger, and I encourage everyone to go and take them up on it. Kelly Sullivan of Nivica Med Spa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope that I did answer everything that you had any questions for.
You answered everything, and I really appreciate you taking the time with us to do this show, and join us next two Fridays, and we're going to be talking about shopping. Yes, everyone loves shopping. It's that time of the year, and we're going to touch on some different sites that you all should be checking out as far as the best deals, what's the best day to shop. We're going to talk with somebody from the National Federation of Retailers, and she's going to tell us about different ways and different days that we should shop and make the best of our money. So I encourage you to join us for that. Until then, thank you for listening to The Beauty Files. Take care. I'll see you soon. Stay beautiful. Bye-bye.